The Colorado Springs Gazette, entitled Teen, colon, Colorado voters were duped into legalizing recreational marijuana. Duped, I say. Duped. They were fooled. And the story is of 19-year-old Caleb, who is a recovering marijuana addict, 41 days and 7 hours sober, to talk about his marijuana addiction. In 2 more months, they say, he'll be able to deliver his first clean drug test in many years, showing no presence of THC, the active ingredient in cannabis that produces a euphoric high and can affect the mind and body for weeks after use. Weeks, they say. I love that. There's this thought amongst some of these rehab folks that if you smoke pot, it's affecting your mind for weeks. And the way they base this is, well, you see, you got THC. THC is fat soluble. So the THC sticks around in your fat cells. And over time, your body is metabolizing it. And as it gets metabolized, that THC gets in your brain and it alters your perception and your thoughts. And so therefore, as long as there's THC in your fat cells, you're high. Wow, I sure wish I could find some of that pot. Tell you. What these people don't ever enter into this part of the conversation is that we have a baseline kind of high going on all the time in our bodies. We have an endocannabinoid system. There is a natural level of this going on at all times. And a molecule of THC here and there is not causing a major profound impact in anybody's life. Now, while you're high, you know, right after smoking the weed and you've got hundreds of nanograms going around in your bloodstream per milliliter, Yeah, there's an impact on your mind. There's an impact on your feelings. But not a week later. Come on now. It's no wonder these kids don't believe you when you talk about how marijuana is going to affect them. Now, according to the story, Caleb was getting high every day, along with about 6% of American high school seniors, according to the federally funded Monitoring the Future. By his own admission, Caleb says he spent practically all his teen years blazed, stoned, still coming out of a mental and physical haze. Okay, so kid's got a problem. He's graduating with a 1.8 GPA. I have a doubt that marijuana was the biggest problem in Caleb's life. I don't know the kid, though. Maybe. But he says, quote, the marijuana industry is also misleading and there's a lot of trickery going on because there are big money and politics in this and not enough people standing up to do the right thing because they're afraid of losing something like money, power, privilege, or image. I compare it to big tobacco and the bogus 1950s ads pushing everyone to smoke cigarettes, you know, as an expression of personal freedom and with a mythical 9 out of 10 doctors saying it's all right. Only this time, it's not just a buzz from some nicotine we're talking about. Weed is a psychoactive mind-altering substance. It is addictive and I don't care what anyone says, it is being marketed to kids. All right, Caleb, so let's see. You're 19. And according to your own admission, you spent practically all your teen years stoned. All right, so if you're 19 and it's 2014 now, your teen years started when you're 13. That's 6 years ago. Let's see, 2014 minus 6 takes us back to 2008. And if I'm not mistaken, Caleb, there was no such thing as legal marijuana in 2008. Apparently, keeping it prohibited didn't stop Caleb from getting stoned every day. Now, did it? Now, I'm glad Caleb's gotten off the pot. I'm glad Caleb's not getting stoned every day. The idea of teenage kids getting, like, stoned to the bone every day bothers me. I don't like that idea. I still do not understand why locking me up for my adult responsible use makes that situation any better. I don't understand how leaving criminals and kids in charge of the marijuana market makes that system any better. He says, he compares it to the big tobacco from the 1950s as if he has any experience with that whatsoever. And everything he's saying here comes right out of Project Sam talking points, and you know he's probably hearing it. Hell, he's in Colorado. He might be hearing it from Christian Thurstone himself. This 19-year-old kid doesn't know about marketing or big tobacco or anything. He's just repeating what's been told to him in rehab. Standing up to do the right thing, what would the right thing be? Locking up adults who smoke pot? Because that didn't stop Caleb from smoking pot. Caleb got high every day before weed was ever legal, for 4 years before weed was ever legal in Colorado. I suppose Caleb might blame that on medical marijuana. Then Caleb needs to explain about all the other kids prior to 1996 who were getting stoned. Caleb needs to explain why in 1979 we experienced the greatest amount of high school marijuana use ever recorded. 60% of high school seniors had tried marijuana. 15% were doing marijuana on a regular basis. And it continues. There's some talk here from Dr. Nora Volkoff. People are voting without the knowledge. We have to counter investments of individuals wanting to change the culture and promote beliefs that marijuana is a safe drug. As opposed to, you know, the FDA-approved pharmaceuticals that I see advertised 1 year, and then the following year I get to see the lawyer ads for the class action suits against those FDA drugs and procedures. You've seen them? Are you a victim of vaginal mesh scarring? Did you take Advantia? Did you give your kids this drug that leads to gynecomastia, etc.? I've seen a lot of these lawyer ads lately. People suing because they took a drug, the FDA, that Nora Volkoff's National Institutes of Drug Abuse and the FDA approved as being okay. Now people are suing because it messed them up. But marijuana, that's the one. That's the one we really need to be warned about. And of course, Caleb says that it's a gateway theory. The weed, not alcohol or tobacco, came first. And the more I used, the more I drank, and the more pills I eventually popped. That doesn't happen to everyone who uses weed, but it happened to enough of us. It's a gateway. Right. Okay. And making it illegal helps how? Kevin Sabet's quoted in here. We're mortgaging our future for the almighty dollar. Make no mistake, legalization is about cranking up the number of heavy users, targeting the most vulnerable, as every industry selling an addictive drug does, and making money. That's it. If it were about getting people out of prison or increasing science-based prevention, there are myriad ways to do those things without ushering in Big Tobacco 2.0. Unfortunately, Kevin, you never say what the hell they are. He's always, the big pivot now is that, oh, we don't have to have all these prisoners, and we can do science and we can have medical marijuana, but we don't need legalization to get to that. Okay, fine. What do we do to get to that? Well, we don't hear so much. So you support decriminalization, Project Sam? Great. Is that just for the users of marijuana, or does that count people who grow the plants and sell them? Oh, no. Those people still need to go to prison. So the bulk of the market, the bulk of the people who get the real prison time will still get the real prison time, right? And this idea, he keeps pushing this idea, vice industries are about cranking up the number of heavy users and targeting the most vulnerable. Every industry selling an addictive drug does. And making money. Okay. Let's go with that. So we need to tax McDonald's, right? We need to have a Big Mac tax, or we need to have a minimum age to go to McDonald's. Because you know that vice industry, McDonald's, is all about cranking up the number of heavy users. They're looking for the whales, they call them, in the casino industry. They're looking for those steady stream of customers that come out and come in and buy a Big Mac every day, right? They're cranking up the number of heavy users. They're targeting the most vulnerable, right? They're going after the children and branding them, making sure that they're brand aware of what McDonald's is about and giving them little toys and Happy Meals to make sure that they buy that vice that McDonald's is selling. Or Budweiser, or Philip Morris, or any of the pharmaceutical companies. See, interesting to me how Kevin Smith's got this big problem with big marijuana. Doesn't seem to have much of a problem with big pharma, though. Doesn't seem to be calling for a repeal of the law that makes the United States one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other one, that allows direct-to-consumer drug advertising. How come I never hear Kevin Sabet railing against direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising that is clearly designed to crank up the number of heavy users and target the most vulnerable? Why is that, Kevin? And the saddest part about this to me, from the perspective of someone who's lived through addiction, lived through family addiction, watched family members become addiction counselors, the saddest thing about that to me, oh, yeah, it is Dr. Christian Thurstone. Sorry, just looking through. Caleb's guy is Thurstone. Of course, of course. But the saddest thing to me here, and we get this with addiction people sometimes, right? There's this claim, there's this feeling that we are powerless over our addictions. It's that whole 12-step mentality. We are powerless. Powerless over our addictions. It's something other than us that made us vulnerable to this. And now they want to direct all of that powerlessness to those of us who seem to have the power to control it. What I want to know is, why is Caleb's powerlessness over marijuana reason to curtail my successful use of it? We don't apply that standard to alcohol. My dad was an alcoholic. That was his drug of choice. But when he got sober, he didn't go around campaigning for bars to be closed and alcohol to be prohibited and people that drink it socially with dinner to be subject to searches, harassment, arrest, and incarceration. No, when my dad got clean and sober, he recognized that his sobriety was his responsibility. That it was up to him to maintain his sobriety. That it was his disease to deal with, not society's disease. And I'm afraid that these Project Sam types are brainwashing these marijuana addicts into a victimhood role for their own agenda, for Project Sam's own agenda. Getting these kids to think of themselves as victims and to think and to blame their failure to cope with marijuana on not busting the people who can cope with it. I'm not going to put up with that anymore.